Well, welcome to the Redemptification Podcast. Today is going to be a powerhouse episode. I got two amazing ladies. In fact, two of the most amazing ladies I've ever met, and they are a dynamic duo. I've got our CEO and leader and in-house genius, Ashley Marsh, here with us today, and she's going to talk to you some about hospitality and celebratory hospitality. But we also have someone you hadn't met yet, Miss Shanika Reed, who's an entrepreneur, amazing lady, has three kids and a husband that runs a great business, a training business, entrepreneurial business, but she runs Sleek Design. And it's a company that that makes people's experiences around wedding and marriage amazing. She brings beauty into these environments. She also is the director of our Southerly Warehouse and our event business. So ladies, thanks for being here. It's going to be interesting. It's hard being the dumbest guy on a podcast with two smart people, but let's get this thing on the road.
Thanks, John.
Okay, celebratory events. What about events and celebrations are important?
I'll take that. I believe the greatest part that we get to have with celebratory events is that we get to see the individual and what their heart really desires to say, what matters to them most. A lot of times they come in with a vision of what it looks like, and as we work and spend time with them, it's really how they feel. And we work really diligently and faithfully on how they feel and how that shows up in the space. That's just one part of the hospitality we do there. But celebratory events are, they're key moments in people's lives that they look back to. They're memories being made at the moment that you get to be a part of. And so it's exciting to be in any of them that we do. Wouldn't you say, Shanika?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's literally sharing somebody's love story. And so there's so many details and so many conversations you have prior to that one big day that you just get to unfold. And, you know, you only have one day to do it, which is funny because here, obviously, like in America, we have one day. But you go to other countries and they're celebrating for a whole week. And, you know,
or a month.
And so I understand that because it's so much, you know, to celebrate in just one day. So
it really is. And I think what you guys do, I had a quote this morning when I thought of you guys in this. And of course, Ash's definition of hospitality is really what drives her and I. In how we do things. I believe it's the gift of our companies, as I thought of you before you got here. But I heard this today, artists, and I think you both are emotional historians. Okay, so y'all are taking the history of a husband and a wife and their story and their family and weaving it together in this celebratory day. You're bringing it all together. And there's a lot at stake. I mean, it's live.
Yeah. For sure.
So when y'all start thinking about events, how do you help someone? Because you're almost picking up little nuggets along the way of things that they care about. And this is where your guys both have such amazing gifts to listen deeply and to catch those little magical things along the way. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think it starts with just building a relationship, like having that moment, time to get to know who they are, what they love, what they like to do. What does their house look like? I mean, just those simple things that make up who we are as people. And so once we kind of start there, once I start there, like a part of my wedding planning process is like, we're going to pause for a moment before we get to the big things. But I want to know who you are. Let's go to dinner. Let me just learn who I'm getting ready to help and build and create. And so I think it's important that we just start with a relationship of just building that up first. Find out who they are, what they love.
It's funny. I like what you say, what they love, because love is hidden all throughout those conversations, right? Like all of a sudden you'll hear something and it's like, oh, that was one. Does those things seem highlighted in your mind when you hit one or something? Like, give us an example of one you've hit with a bride that's like, oh, she loves that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's special.
Let's think. So I'm currently working with a bride. Her wedding's coming up in May. And so she's a very, very laid back as far as style, but we went to dinner. And so her and her husband are really, really quiet. And so I feel like when that initial meeting is kind of, you're trying to kind of figure out like.
It's like a first date.
It's like I'm asking questions. I want to get to know you, but I don't want you to feel like I'm interviewing you. And so during this time that we're sitting there, I'm going to ask them, like, well, tell me about your house. Like, what does your house look like? And so random question, what do you mean with my house look like? Well, I want to know, like, what are the things that you like? because I'm thinking about that as it relates to the design of like layout. Their style is chill, comfy, you know, they love the couch. Well, let's go ahead and throw in some, you know, couches or lounge furniture in the dining space, not just like in a cocktail hour. But let's go ahead and put this in the actual dining space because that represents your style of, you know.
Hospitality.
Yeah, hospitality. Yeah.
It's so, your story is around that couch and the experiences.
So I was like, we can definitely like put some couches in there. Like, yeah. I always try to think about like, okay, if these are some of the key things that they're throwing out there to me, I need to be able to grab that and put that in their event. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, share that in their story or somehow throughout their event.
Yeah, and I will say, of course, I brag on Shanika a lot, and it's rightfully due for her. But even whenever you do, like, my mom's celebratory, her life celebration, the fact that, of course, you had the benefit of knowing my mom, but you knew also my heart to celebrate her. And I did not have to have my hands on that, and that was such a peaceful opportunity for me to be able to step into her being celebrated. But what I loved was you touched on what mattered to her, and she was such a gatherer and someone that just wanted to sit with people and laugh with them and be with them. And to walk into that space and see that you had listened throughout the years and you had paid attention throughout all the times that you had with her, and that expression showed up. You do that with people you haven't known for years. And it's one of the things I believe that makes our venues really shine is that hospitality that you give, because that's what that is.
Yeah,
it's easy to think it's just about production or that it's just, you know, making something pretty and just showing up and it's the razzle-dazzle moment, but it really is so thoughtful. And I believe that that's one of the things that what John is trying to touch on is what really is a celebratory event is when someone's truly celebrated, you know. And I believe that we've all been to events where it's pretty, and it's busy, and it's fussy, and it's all the things, and it's okay. But you leave, and you're like, wow, I don't have any memory from that. And whenever the guests leave the events that you are participating in and really holding that tension to with beauty and love, they all leave changed. And I hear them saying it, and I see them talking to you, and I love that everyone from the cousin to the grandmother to the aunts and the uncles, I mean, everyone knows her by the end of the, I mean, whenever, if you want to be just, have some fun, come to a rehearsal and watch Shanika like move through all that and see how many of the family members know her already. And it's because you've decided to see them and to love them, and now you're going to celebrate them. And it takes a lot of trust to believe someone can celebrate you and help you celebrate what matters to you.
I think two things I gathered out of that. One, you guys are brokers in trust. Like, once you have someone's trust, it's really hard to keep. It's hard to get, but it's easy to lose, right? But you have this trust. And in trusting, you have the opportunity to experience it, but move back from it some. You don't have to live in it. Like, if you got it, I don't have to worry about it, is what she was saying. But think about this. And I know you guys are excellent, and our venue is excellent, but there is the struggle to stay excellent. Like Ash says, if a bride walks through and rubs her hands on the windowsill and it's dirty, and she said, I wonder if it's going to be like this at my event. And then they walk on through and one of the toilets is out of order. Well, I wonder if that thing's going to work at my event. Or that once this doubt starts coming in, and I know it happens as people get closer to the day and get more excited, more afraid, right?
All the questions.
How do you deal? Like, what is the first time they come to you with doubt? Like, what do you do?
That immediately makes me think about our final walkthrough. So as, you know, 30 days prior to a wedding day, we'll do a final walkthrough with the bride. And there may be some things going on in the building. And they'll ask, like, hey, I noticed that leak up there. Or, you know, I noticed, you know, this. And I'm always reassuring them, like, you know what? Yeah, that just happened. Or, hey, you know, we're working on that. But believe me, like, if you trust me, and I'll change my tone and say, hey, if you trust me, it'll be taken care of. Like, don't worry about it. And so I think... Again, I go back to relationship, though. That didn't happen, you know, the first time we met them. And
you had the credit in your account after all those investments.
I see this, and I'm glad you noticed that, too. Right. But listen, your wedding has been perfect. It's been fine. We're going to make sure all those things are taken care of. It's handled, and just trust me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, almost like serving God. I say you have to plan like everything depends on it, but then live like nothing does. You've got to do all this planning so on that day you can be there and show up and do all you can do. But that's kind of the dance of this. Ash, as you started, really the events came out of our lives and out of a, we were young, got married 18 and 19 or whatever, and we didn't have the day you wanted to have. Mm-hmm. And you've been so wise to lead the venue by giving, you know, Ritz-Carlton said we're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And just calling someone a gentleman or a lady changes it. Mm-hmm. Well, Ash kind of thought that way. She said, if you ever wonder what to do, just make it their day. Because she said my day wasn't my day. So Ash, how is that? Like, how often? I mean, y'all are actually advocates for the bride and also their spouse in this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a powerful role.
It is, and that is one of the first places we have to build trust. Honestly, mm-hmm. The space sells itself. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful old warehouse that we have been meticulously kind to, and we love it, and it shows up. And so, honestly, we are having to sell the trust in us that we can literally help them have the event that they want to have, that they dreamed of having their whole life. My event, I don't know how much I really dreamed about my wedding day, but once you get there, even if you don't think about it every day, once a woman or a lady gets to that opportunity, you're so aware of everything you dreamed of. Does that make any sense?
Like it kind of all comes up.
It pushes it up. And so you don't really know what matters to you until it's pushed upon. Mm-hmm. And on my day, there were certain things that I would not have told you at the time I even knew mattered. But now looking back and being a bride that wish you would have had different things, we strive to do that with our brides. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the rules that we have in this house, in our venues, is that the bride's way is the way always. And so it's like the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland. Always are the bride's ways, always. Mm-hmm. And so we, as advocates, want to hear everything that everyone has for input that will maybe impact and help her day, mm-hmm. be what it's going to be. But ultimately, Shanika's role, and she works more with the brides than I do, and actually more with all the events than I do, because I can trust her in that, and I love that. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, what she's doing is she is all along the way building trust with the family, but reassuring the brides, like, mm-hmm. I see you, and I hear your heart, and that's what we're going to hold to. And you don't have to stress about it being perfect. That's my job, is to make it as perfect as possible, but for you to not even know the imperfect things that are there. And so I call it the glide mode. I say that Shanika glides at that moment, because it happens. Everything hits the fan at some points, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And we just have to figure things out, from old nails sticking out of the floor that someone finds that no one has ever found in 10 years. And all of a sudden, this nail is the most prominent thing in the room, to, you know, a light bulb going out in the middle of a ceremony. Whatever it might be, she goes into glide mode, and she does. She hates that tone, and she comes down. And you hate to say, it's like when you talk to an upset child almost. Mm-hmm. It's like you just get real calm, and you get real present, and you just reassure. And so my day, it wasn't what I dreamed of. But my life now is, every time we have a wedding here, I get to relive that, and it is what I dream of. And I love that.
Well, and surprising people. I think about some of the amazing things I thought of you before you got here, mm-hmm. is the preparation, but also then in the day to work at the intersection of purpose and running companies as profits. That's the magic. Like, mm-hmm. really great work done with love and care. Mm-hmm. Look, I asked my mom, I said, why is your food so good? She said, because I make it with love. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that in a bottle. Have a great bottle of wine with someone you love. It's way better than it is, mm-hmm. because of who you're with. Think about this. We had a bride one time. Tell us a story, Ash, about the bride that forgot her contacts.
Oh yeah, that was maybe about last year. Mm-hmm. But we did. We had a bride. She was upset, crying. They couldn't get her makeup to stay on her, but for good reason. But whenever I found out that there was something going on, I was like, "What's happening?" And the bride, it was either the maid of honor or one of the bridesmaids, were like, "You know, she left her contacts at the hotel room." And I was like, "Well, what hotel is it?" "Well, it's fine. You know, they're going about to get. They couldn't find them." And so that just made it more upset. She had glasses, and she was like, "This is not what I thought my day was going to be like, was wearing these glasses in all my pictures." And so anyhow, I said, "Well, tell me what prescription do you wear?" She's like, "You can't find it." Her dad's even telling me, "It's like, it's not, you're not going to get there. It's a very special prescription, you know, this, another." And so I was like, "Well, just let me try." So I called John, because John is the connector of all things. I mean, of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you already know that. It's like, if you want to know who to call or what to use or what to eat, and he'll tell you his favorite things to eat at any time. All you gotta do is ask him. He'll connect you to it. And so anyhow, I let him know. I was like, hey, I got this bride up here. I know we have, you know, optometrists and ophthalmologists, you know, friends. He does. Can you call someone? So he called one of them that's local here, and Dr. Spina, I believe. And he had it. He had the doggone prescription.
And he went in on the weekend and opened it.
Wasn't open. Got it, you know, and we got him for her. And she was, like, so amazed. And it's like, again, that is part of our job. It's so much more than making sure the chairs are straight and all that. That matters. Yeah. People don't know how much that impacts the feeling of people for things to be right. Because they don't really know what right is. They just know when it's wrong, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, but whenever we're able to solve problems that are unsolvable, that's magic. It's like when you go to someone's home and you actually get to really be who you are and say that you need something or you forgot something and they have it. It makes you feel so different, you know, because it's not fussing over it.
Right.
And people then, again, feel celebrated. They feel that you thought of them before they got there, even if you don't know everything to think of.
Well, one thing we're learning in celebratory events in our future business models, we think this is an important part of making community and placemaking. In our world now, celebratory events, iconic food and beverage, and overnight stay are the future of saving small towns across America, because we will travel a few hours away for an event or further. And when we're there, if I love what Nelson says, and Nelson is our oldest son and helps us in the businesses now. And he says, every town is one great experience away from being a destination. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And think about this. Y'all guys create these memories for people. And then you see them even being a bit influenced or impregnated with the idea that beauty matters. Mm-hmm. And I bet people leave here and want more beautiful experiences after they're here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All the time.
And so how does that come into your home? Like, how do you bring this gift you have here to make these amazing arrangements and lay out stuff and do stuff that seems bananas to me? Yeah. Okay, when you line the thing with huge glass containers and beautiful lights and all this stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, how is some kid not going to ram this stuff? But you make it all come together and make it beautiful. How do you do that with three young kids at home that are all four and under or something?
Yeah, three and under. honestly, I create at night, if I'm being honest.
Have to do it after everybody?
I do. I give all my time throughout the day with them. And then I work at night. And so I spend a lot of time at night just thinking, creating, visioning, designing.
Yeah.
And so it's not easy, but you know, it's temporary. And so it won't always be like this. It hasn't always been like this. I've only had kids for 3 years now. and I've worked longer than 3 years. So I know it's temporary. It's a season and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. I work at night.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's the way Ash has done it too. And I admire, I mean, you ladies are amazing. The stuff y'all balance, I told Ash, I said, oh my God, you raised our kids. You did everything and I didn't know it. It's so hard inside of life to, but I mean, even like, how do you use the celebratory tools you have for your little girls and your son? Like, how do you celebrate your kids like you're doing these brides?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I believe in just celebrating everything and not even just like birthdays, but just every little thing just to build people's spirits up. Like when people feel celebrated, they feel good about who they are. Mm. And I think that matters so much as a whole person. Like, you should feel good about who you are. So let's celebrate, you know, the little things in life. If it's, for example, so my husband, he has a personal training business. And so whenever he comes home, I'm like, yeah, I closed him. All right, woohoo! Like, that's been coming, it's more regular now, but we still celebrate it. Like, we're going to eat some ice cream, we're going to watch a movie. It's the little things that I want you to feel good about, because that just builds up who you are. Mm. And that just magnifies even more of what, you know, the goal, the dream of where we want to be in life. And so I think celebrating people in general is just what I love to do. And it kind of goes back to just making people feel good, making people feel like they, you know, belong and feel love and appreciative and just all those things.
That so belonging.
My kids, like, they get celebrated with every little thing. And it starts at 1 year old. At 1 year old, we're going to have a big party. Yeah. It's on cost. It's a couple $1,000. And I'm okay with that.
Your birthday parties are fabulous.
Oh, yeah. And I believe in, you know, having a great one birthday, we'll do 1 year old, we'll do five, when they turn five, we'll do 10, and then 13, I think 16 and 21.
Wow.
I've already got them on my mind.
So intense. Great. Well, and
I
love you saying celebrate little things, because if we celebrate little things, we'll have a life full of celebration, right? We'll get it daily instead of, so often we're starving in the desert and, oh my God, it's a celebration. I feel so much better. And then you go back to a mundane life. Mm-hmm. If we can celebrate every day in every way. And I think Ash does this so well. Like one thing she always, and I thought about this the other night, I said, one thing I'm grateful about her, she always says thank you. Mm. Like, we go to dinner and spend basically her money, we could call it our money. Well, she says thank you for going to a dinner that she paid for. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I love this lady, but she's crazy.
I will say, if you have the opportunity to be one of Shanika's friends, which if you haven't already met her, you need to make yourself meet her just so you can be a friend. If you go to her house for anything, there's always something special there. Mm-hmm. If I told her I was coming by this afternoon, I bet you anything she would have some goodie for me. And it doesn't even have to be big, but I love it whenever your girlfriends come in from out of town. Maybe they're coming because they're just here for the weekend. Maybe it's something at Tuskegee where you graduated from, whatever it is. It's like an event happening here, happening at her house. It's the wildest stuff you've ever seen. Yeah. I went for a pajama party to her house and with some of her girlfriends. This is whenever, she was actually, you were pregnant still with King John.
Yep.
No, the twins.
Yeah, we have
And I was like, we were being celebrated more than the fact that she was having doggone twins. I went to one of her birthday parties at Ampersand when Nelson had that. This is one of my favorite ones that you did. She had cupcakes instead of a cake. Mm-hmm. And she's so intentional about touching into the heart of things, but every time you got a cupcake, you got to say something about what you loved about your relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And she causes me to be a better friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's a part of serving people. That's a part of loving people, is giving good challenge to be a greater version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know we do that in our space. We intend on doing that in this whole community, that when people come into our community here, that me and Shanika and Natalie, our whole team, we're thinking about how do we love these people? How do we not just bring intentional design and beauty? Mm-hmm. That's a byproduct of the love. The finding something pretty online is easy. There's tons of it, but you got to know why you're getting it, and you got to know why it's being used and how it's being used and all, and why does it matter? And I think that, I know Shanika shines in that. She causes me to be better. I'm crying. She causes me to be better in that, in all parts of the business. So for her to be the face forward of what we're doing with our events, and then I get to do that on the business side, and I get to love through that side of it, making sure everything's intentional with what we offer and how we're operating our business, and giving complete autonomy to these ladies to make decisions to impact the client, to say, hey, you matter, and make them happy. That's usually how I end most of my emails to her, is like, this is what I think, but ultimately, I need you to make the best decision because you're working with them, and I'm going to honor what you decide. And that, again, that's a trust with us, and we can't teach other people to trust us or to believe that we love them if we don't have that with each other.
Mm-hmm. I heard business and life moves at the speed of trust. Mm-hmm. Think of trust as a currency in a way. Like, once you trust someone, a lot of stuff falls away. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about each. Y'all are very entrepreneurial, you and your husband. It's really unusual as a young couple. I think one thing Ash and I love, I never knew that I could work alongside my wife and we could do great things together. Mm-hmm. Nobody told me that was possible. Yeah. Like, they didn't tell me that was okay.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known. But now we're advocates for that husbands and wives, when they choose to, not everybody will or can or should, but the people that do, you can do something great together.
Oh, yeah.
So have y'all always been entrepreneurial since you first met?
And you know what? That's a great question. No. So Stanley, my husband has, mm-hmm. yes. For him, mm-hmm. that's always been his mindset. Like, since I've met him at Tuskegee, he was always doing something on the side, selling this, selling that. And for me, I was so strict, like, okay, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to go have this classroom. I'm like, I'm not having a side hustle. Like, no, this is what I'm focused on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's always pressured me. I feel like, hey, he's like, what do you love? Like, how else do you want to make money? Like, this teaching is okay, but like, what else is there that you want to do? And I would always say, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, it was a conversation that got heated because I'm like, I'm getting frustrated because I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what I want to do. And I don't know how to make money besides be this teacher that I've always, you know, dreamed of being. And so that question just kept coming up every year.
When was the first time you made money doing an event, like as Sleek Design?
2016.
Really?
Yeah. So it was, you helped me with that event. Mm-hmm. That was over in Columbus at, where were we at?
Bib Mill?
Yeah.
River Mill.
River Mill.
And it was
so crazy.
Unbelievable. It was crazy. It was insane.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was.
But it was unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, that was my first event. It was like 300 guests.
Wow.
I had less than a month because the bride had like fired her event designer or whatever, whoever she was. And so a friend of mine, it was a friend of a friend, and it's like, hey, I know Shanika, you know, she's starting her business. Would you be willing to talk to her? And so we made that connection. But
that's
when I
awesome.
Got there, I didn't realize like, oh, I'm designing like 23 tables. And I mean, it was a big scale of like. Stuff.
And you probably had, since you hadn't done a lot, right?
Yeah, I was nervous. No, I was like, what am I doing?
We were hot gluing ostrich feathers, and I'm not talking about small arrangements.
Oh, no,
I mean,
these things were
massive. It was me, Shanika, Stanley, and your mom, sweet Brenda.
Yeah.
She's like my other mama. But and that play, there's a lot of venues. They're really strict with how you can get in, what you can do, when you got to get out. And we were at like 1 a.m. in the morning. It was raining. It was cold. It was at New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. New Year's.
And there was grace. God was in the midst of all that because I remember the venue director let me come in the day before.
Yes.
And she hadn't let anybody.
Nobody.
You had like the strict hour, you know, not an hour, but the day.
Yeah.
Like we have a, you know, give them a day. But she let me come in the whole day before. And so I kind of got in and set up and it was God. And
that's awesome.
I give him the praise for sure.
Yeah.
Because it was grace in that
beautiful.
With me having my first event, not knowing what I'm doing, like at all.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is still see God doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. So much, I think it's easy to miss that the Bible says that, hey, I knew who you were before you got here. And I laid out good works in advance that you should do them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, either this thing's a runaway train
and
nobody's in charge, or it was well designed by a loving creator. And so if you go with that loving creator part, you got to think, well, if he created it, he understands it.
Right.
And he's got a plan for it. Mm-hmm. And that's really, what about the dynamics? How do y'all bring, I mean, it's such detailed plans to the moment. Oh, you got to walk here, do this, and bend and squat. And just all, how in the pageantry of all that do you find excitement and like flexibility? Like, how does that work between details and planning everything and then getting there and going, oh my goodness, here, you know, who knows what's going to happen?
I know.
Is somebody's grandma going to get hammered?
Right.
You know, or whatever.
That does happen.
That does happen.
All sorts of things.
You want to answer that? Because you're here more.
Well, I feel like you got to start with a plan. I mean,
you
got to have a guide. And so for my guide, it's a timeline. And so I start the timeline the moment I book a client and we're, hey, this is what time we're going to start. And so from there, it's just building it up. And then the things that are going to happen outside the timeline, you got to be flexible. You got to kind of know how to bend with it.
But time's that limited resource that you have. You know the date.
Yeah.
You know the things that's got to happen in between that date. So then you start, you're building it.
I'm building.
Right.
Day one, yeah.
Oh my gosh, if we're going to land here, then I've got to have these things done.
Yeah.
And that's really a huge part of the event is the coordination and collaboration. It's almost like building Ferraris. It's all handmade.
Yeah.
And there's all different trades and vendors doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to try to get everybody aligned. At a moment.
It's called coordination. But she's like a GC,
general contractor for the vision of this event.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
and so it's a lot of tension being held. But I do know that having that schedule, again, it gives the freedom to be flexible whenever something comes up because you already know what the expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the greatest things. Honestly, if I look back at my wedding day, it's because I did not know how to orate what I really expected. And what I anticipated to happen that day.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that part of our greatest task that we have is pulling that out of our future brides and grooms. It's not that they don't matter, but they
recently,
don't.
Recently, there's been a
they've
lot of
been,
grooms
yeah,
who've been like really
they've been
involved.
More hands-on.
Yeah,
it's an interesting twist.
Which is good.
It is good.
It is.
Yeah, because like you're in this together. Like, I don't want you to show up the day of like, oh, wow. Like, no, you've been through the process. Like, you can really celebrate because you know what's, you know what it took to get here.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's really important. Nice. I think that I wish I had known that. Like, just saying, oh, it doesn't matter or mm-hmm. it's no big deal. Maybe, but it's more important what you're becoming than what you're achieving. It's yeah. important that you do it together. I mean, mm-hmm. that's one thing with Ash. I realized even about, I've been a horrible amount of help throughout most of our life domestically. So Ash was doing everything. But as I start doing things to help around the house more, I think, well, the one of the big things is I get to be with her. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's, that alone is a big piece to this thing. Just mm-hmm. it's not just witness, it's withness. Mm-hmm. And something about being with people through this journey, I bet you'll have lifelong friends
oh, yeah.
from walking yeah. through mm-hmm. with these couples. You know what would be fun one day is try to have an event where you bring 10 or 20 couples that all back. Got married back and tell
it'd
stories.
It'd be fun to come in yeah. their wedding dresses.
Right?
Well, a lot of well, people won't be able to fit in them. They won't be able to do that. That's like, whoa.
The girls go on strict diet.
Oh, they I tell you.
Saying all that, though, if there's any future husbands to be on this, listen to this podcast, I would encourage you to be a part of the conversations. Yeah. You will learn so much about your future bride and what matters to her, mm-hmm. but to be passive, completely passive, if it doesn't matter to me and I don't care what you're doing, even if you're doing that out of the kindness of your heart and not giving any opinions, it puts a lot of stress on one person to make all of the decisions. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of decisions. It's not just five or six. There are so many.
And why so is it so misunderstood, fatigued. Ash? Like when people think about events, they say, oh God, this is pretty easy. Like if the more you look at it, the more you go, oh my goodness, yeah. there's so many, it's thousands of details. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come off that way. It just, mm-hmm. it. I mean, it's funny, you do all this, it like, so it can come off like you didn't, it wasn't that big a struggle.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. I think that people see the end result and it happens so fast. There's so much planning. Sometimes it's a year and a half of planning and it's over in 15 minutes for the actual mm-hmm. ceremony. Mm-hmm. And then there's another hour for this and then there's an hour for that. But I think it's easy for guests to see that. But I also think that we know what we want to know. Like, you know, we really don't want to know how cakes are made. We just want to eat it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't want to have sausages made. We just want to have some good sausage mm-hmm. on our plate. So it's the same thing. It's like we know what we want to know. And I think that most people are just happy and content with being in the unknown and just expecting to receive the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you are the ones that are actually putting on the event, which as a future bride and groom, you are. You're
the host, you're the really, yeah. in a way. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
You are. Yeah. And so you're the MC, mm-hmm. Basically. You're the master of the ceremonies. And therefore, you've got to work with each other to be able to facilitate all of the decisions that need to be made so that on that day, you're done.
Yeah.
You get to be. And it takes a lot to draw that out of people and for them to see how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have a lot of brides that you have to work with that don't give you that
yeah.
opportunity. There's mm-hmm. a few that like to hold on to everything up until the very last day, but you know, it's just part of it. It's dealing with different personalities.
Sure.
Okay, let's enter another piece to this. Tell me the top three things that most brides don't know, if you can, that you wish they'd know. Y'all can collaborate together and do the same thing with
yeah.
grooms. And then I'm going to get to tougher questions. I'm giving y'all the easy ones. So top three things, man, yeah. I wish every bride knew
Gosh.
Blank. Ooh, I like it. I got a good one. So think about this. What, like, they come with expectations.
Right.
They come with a mindset of things they want, but they don't know that.
The first thing I automatically thought of was budget. They don't understand how much things cost.
Uh-huh.
Like, they had never, linen.
Never been to the grocery store.
Like for one linen, it could be $98. Like, what? Like, people see the beauty in things. They don't know how much, all this stuff costs. So education is big for me to be able to explain to them, hey, okay, since their budget, this is what you like, this is what you want.
It takes a lot of trust to even share their budget with you, doesn't
yeah.
it? Because it's like, I'll tell you half of it, maybe, and then the other half you over.
Right.
But
yeah.
you really need the real number, don't you?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Why do people, okay, do you think people understand the need for a coordinator?
They don't. Not at all.
I think they don't understand the definition of a coordinator.
Right.
Well, what would y'all, like, help us see a coordinator's definition. Like, what is a coordinator really? Like, one thing people want is what's in it for me. What does a coordinator give me that I wouldn't have without one?
Stress-free, like you don't have to buy anything.
It's
the feeling of just knowing, hey, everything's taken care of. My mom hasn't had to do it. My maid of honor didn't have to do anything, just like that.
Because you've got to task everybody else up and yourself if you don't have this. Somebody's got to do the job, right?
You know, honestly, so I'm going to pause real quick and just say that's kind of what brought me into Sick Design. So I planned my whole wedding, all the beauty, all the details. But guess what? I didn't have a day of coordinator. I don't know if you noticed this, Ash, because Ash was at my wedding. My hairstylist, did you notice she was literally coordinating telling people when to go? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait, I don't have anybody to direct the wedding day. Mm-hmm.
It's an orchestra without a composer, huh? Or without the guy directing.
So I had nobody to coordinate. I'm like,
so you were your coordinator, huh? Of your own wedding.
My own wedding.
And you realize the need.
I'm at everything. I'm like,
me and you need to have our wedding day over again.
Seriously.
But we need to hire someone like you. I'm glad you trained in Isla.
I won't.
Oh, no. Right?
You got to get up. You got to be ready.
I'd like to honeymoon again.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do it.
Talk to me. I love the way this thing's going. Right. I think you ought to start with the honeymoon, really.
Oh, do it backwards.
Well, I think this thing we're talking about, you could like start with the honeymoon.
All right, listen, Natalie's already said you go to the car sometimes. Anyhow, again, if you know John, you know where that conversation's going. We got to cut it off. Okay, so one of the things I would say that would be a top three is don't bring family and friends as your professional lead at your event. It's a great, wonderful, heart-intended, want to include everybody, and just because grandma does things at the church, she can put on a 300-person event. No.
Right. Not if you want her to be involved, and not if you don't want to possibly say some curse words to your grandmother.
Or just because your sorority girlfriend made some pretty arrangements at one of the events means she can do all the flowers for the wedding. It takes a professional, and the reason why they are professionals and the reason why they can charge what they charge is because they have done the push-ups. They have done the work. They've invested in that. They've invested their time and their money, their sweat and their tears. A real florist shows up with a team. They're going to show up with all of their flowers in place. They're going to have holes in their hands from thorns. Right. I mean, they have done the work. They are not someone that's going to show up and just, you know, wonder what to do. And so what happens whenever we have that happen to us, we have to step in. And
because y'all want the day to not fail. So become hybrid florist and hybrid this and that.
We do. We step into all those roles. And that then takes us out of our greatest role, which is truly to be the host and hostess in proxy for the bride and groom so that they can be there at that day. Now, if we can't do that and we're running around making sure all these, you know, so-called vendors that aren't true vendors are doing all these things that they don't know what to do, it makes it a very difficult day. That brings a lot of stress. And so hire a professional. They are going to cost you a little bit more money, but that is an investment. It is an absolute investment.
And it's an investment into your stressless experience, right?
Exactly.
You're going to get the goods.
John, you bring this up about whenever we talk with people about their marriage, right? It's so interesting that we'll go to a mechanic when something's wrong with our car.
Transmission's bad, needs some
work. When something's wrong with that. But whenever it comes to our relationship, we just shove it under the rug. We see that happening pre-marriage when they start doing that with their relationship ahead of time.
They're already shoving conflicts and things under the rug.
Because they have to, because they're not allowing people that are trained the best and facilitated the best to take care of those moments and just taking their hands off of it.
And the tools you guys have. I think about amazing, the best carpenter in the world. Mm-hmm. But you give them a high heel shoe and a butter knife to build the house. They're going to struggle. Now, they're a good carpenter, but they got good tools. Right. And one other thing I've seen with you guys is all the tools, the details, the checklist, the alignment, the timelines. I mean, it's a detailed thing to make the trains run on time and to all land at one point. And somebody's got to do the work. It's great. What about some things that people you wish they would know about venues and about the team around the venues? It's easy to say, is it pretty or not pretty, and is it a barn or a building? That's one thing, but then there's all this other behind there. Are you renting a box without any help, or are you coming to join someone in something they love and care about? Like, how is the differences that y'all see between different venues and people's experience?
I think one of the things that I would love to get out across the world about our venue is we have the professional when it comes to like a planner. So I feel like venues are kind of known, like, don't ever hire the venue coordinator because they're not going to take care of you, right? And so for us, that's different, obviously. You know,
because it's your business.
Yeah.
It's your business. It's not our business. It's your business. Exactly. And you're going to take care of your business, yes, right? And absolutely. Then we collaborate on the venue.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I would love to, like, hey, you know what? That can be true in some aspect. But for us, like, no, like, literally, the venue coordinator is someone who is a professional and knows how to.
And they can make all the decisions.
Yeah.
Like, you can make decisions for the venue where other venue coordinators are really hoping they can negotiate. You have full power to make something happen for someone. It's an important point.
Right. And you know the space.
Oh, yeah.
She knows the space. What are its limits? What's the best flow for it? What, you know, if something does go awry, what do I do? Who do I call? I mean, all those things is because she's here. And it's her bit, and she does care about it. And so, and it's her reputation. Mm-hmm. I know that every single time that someone comes in here and an event is sold for our space, our reputation's on the line for the space and for our name. When she puts her hands to it, her reputation's on the line for what she produces. Mm-hmm. That is a collaborative effort to say, hey, we're going to honor that with each other. Not all venues have that. Yeah. The interesting thing is a lot of times what we've seen at venues, and I think there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just that you have to, as a bride, future bride and groom, or someone that wants to do a celebratory event, you have to say, does it match me? That's one of the first things we say. When I give someone a tour, it's the first thing I say is like, look, we don't try to pretend to be anything that we're not. We know that this is, that there's not a finished white box here, so to speak. It's not going to look brand new everywhere. Mm-hmm. This is a over 100-year-old warehouse, and it is what it is. To us, it's absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. To you, we hope it is too.
Right.
But honestly, the space is the space. At the end of the day, it is what it is. You have to match with us. You have to really like us. Do we facilitate a part? Do we look like a partner you can do this with? Because we have to be. And honestly, we want to be that way. We want them to be that way with us too. We want to be able to pick that person too. Because you don't want to be unhappy and dissatisfied because you don't match the personalities or you don't match the intentionalities that's happening.
Yeah.
And so that is one of the first questions I tell, or statements I tell people. So there's a lot of great venues. Not all the venues are going to operate the way we do. And that's okay. You have to pick what matches you.
Right.
Some people want to be super, 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 super hands-on. That is not going to be what they need to be here. Because we don't like people to be hands-on here. We want to serve them and love them. But also there's...
So if you want a DIY...
If you want to DIY it, this is not the place for you.
No.
Guys, so let's shift gears and we'll kind of land the plane here. You're giving us some great advice about celebratory events, brides and things. How about a little few, since we've got the methods that you use, what about a few memories, Ash? I remember you just talking about some of the unique celebrations based on families. I can't remember exactly, but the dancing and things. Tell us about a few moments, because honestly, it's all about the stories when it's all done. We love people and their story. We believe that the stories matter. And y'all guys are in people's story. You're walking with them in their story. So tell us about, like, what's an event you remember and why it was so interesting?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know what I love? We get to be the proverbial fly on the wall, right?
Yeah.
So if the walls could talk, we are the walls that can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because we get to experience the events differently than the guests do and everyone else. So one of my favorite events was the bride and groom that she was actually, I think she was maybe Korean, and he was from Denmark. Do you remember that one? I think her name's Ashley.
Yes. Ashley was their coordinator.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
She created so many moments. And honestly, and anyway, I hope it's not divulging too much for her if she hears this, but honestly, at first I was just like, oh my gosh, she's going to be a handful.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was, particular. if she wanted, if she put a bottle down, it's like it's 3 inches from here and it's 2 inches from here. It's like that's what she expected, period, for all of it. It's like, okay, we got this.
Mm-hmm.
But she created moments when you came into the space. This is before we actually had the space as finished as we do now, where you walk through this really dark, over the top, velvet, heavy draped theater drapes.
Uh-huh.
She had theater drapes brought in. And she made this walkway that hid the guests from everything.
Yep.
This is what her and Shanika created this. And it had lamps in it. So it was like this private moment. When you walk in this building, you're like, where are we going?
Uh-huh.
What are we doing?
You don't see chairs set up. You don't see
nothing.
Anything.
You see a black
dramatic.
Yes. You walk through this. And then when you pop out, all of a sudden, you're in the chandelier room.
Uh-huh.
And it's all lit up. And she had these massive white rose arrangements that were just like something that you would see in movies only. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy. It was beautiful. Yeah. And she got married in a different direction than any of our brides ever chose to get married, which I love.
Me too.
And then after the ceremony, this is when we get to go to the reception.
Yeah.
And I've never had so much fun at a reception because they brought in all the different elements from their cultures.
Yeah.
I mean, there was dancing on top of the tables. There was crawling under the table. There was like all these different things. And it was all to do with their culture. And every time something happened, everyone stood up and clapped and you swung your neck. I mean, it was just...
it was fun.
When you got through at the end of the night, it was like after midnight and you're like, man, I could keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, it was so fun. But they allowed us to be a part of that celebration. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. I just love how they included their guests with that. So that's one of my favorite ones that we've done.
Yeah, no, that's really fun. Gosh, here you go again, John. I'm trying to think. What's a favorite one? Boy, there's so many. I can't even.
One of my favorite celebratory events is your revealing of the gender of your kids.
Oh, goodness.
That was crazy. The last one was, wow. Tell us about that. So that's a personal thing, but it's also a beautiful thing and a fun thing.
The twins or Shine? Okay, so we had it here in Osage. And so obviously I thought I was done having kids. Went through the whole IVF process, didn't realize I can get pregnant on my own. And so there was Shine. And so we had that event in the Osage, and it was all black attire. One of the, I guess the biggest things with that event was I got tricked. Like, I knew I wanted a boy. And so when we did the whole reveal, we had the DJ do uplighting. And so the uplighting represented the color, the gender of, you know, the baby. And so it came up purple, and I was like, it's a girl, like purple's a girl color, right? Like, what's going on? And so I instantly broke down, like crying, like, oh my gosh, not the girl. I can't handle this. Like, I was so mad.
And Stanley didn't help him.
And Stanley he was the whole thing, right? Him and the DJ had worked that out. And so finally, I'm like in tears. I'm like, this can't be real. And so he's like, I'm just playing. So the lights turn blue. And I'm like, it's a boy. And so, like, everybody kind of
all of us were tricked, too. Oh, we were the same. We were like, what?
Yeah, no, that was definitely an experience. Fun. Like, oh, praise God it's a boy because I couldn't handle another girl.
Well, celebrating the days. And guys, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I really encourage you. We're going to put in the links to Shanika's pages for Sleek Design and some of the other things that you can check out. But celebratory events are key first in people's lives, but second in making place. We believe it's critical to create place, to have places to celebrate and to be celebrated and not just tolerated. So if this has added value to you, I hope you share it with people and look forward to next time having more amazing stories, unique things, and even talks of future second honeymoons by me. And hope you enjoy the Redemptification Podcast. Thanks a lot.